to be. So, Lord God, have your way in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Let me check with Benson. Is the microphone working? Okay, good. All right. Well, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be starting a new sermon series next week. As I told you last week, we ended our other series. But today, the title of the message is The Deceiver Within. And I'm going to tell you, if you remember from last week's sermon, I showed you several actual church signs from different churches across America. You guys remember that? And one of the signs was this one. You guys remember this? It says, "We love hurting people." And I made a comment, right, that a church is like a spiritual hospital upon which we must love the hurting people that enter in. But I got to tell you something. I remember when I showed this to you guys and to some people at the park, I remember some of the faces, they look shocked. And some of them actually look confused as I put it on display. And I was thinking, how come? You know? And then it's funny because later, as I was driving home with my son Benson, right, he said to me, "Dad, you realize that one of the signs you showed has a double meaning." I go, "Which one?" "I don't know which one has a double meaning." I'm like, "What are you talking about? Which one?" Right? And so he pointed out this one, "Dad." And he says, "When hurting is used as an adjective, right, we love hurting people." Okay, that's understandable what you're trying to make as your point. But when it's used as a verb, "We love hurting people," that's when you kind of go, "Wow, what are you talking about?" Right? "You love hurting people?" Right? And so, you know, I kind of thought about that. I go, "Wow, I didn't even realize that." And you know, it's sort of like this one. Well, what do you see here? I mean, I think you've seen this before. I showed this before. What do you see? Yeah, I see. Actually, when I saw God is now here. But some people may see it as God is what? Nowhere. Which one do you want? I want God is now here, right? But, you know, I kind of realized that, you know, especially in our society today, you know, the Bible tells us in the last days, there's going to be many what? False teachers. And you know, they can tell you something about the Word of God that seems like the truth, but it's far from the truth. And we realize that's what they do. They're trying to pull you away from what is truth. And that is why we got to be careful. We got to make sure we know the Word of God. Because, you know, the very fact Satan is using people to try to bring forth falsity upon the Word of God. And we know the Word of God is all truth. But Satan, he's going to try his darndest to try to deceive us so that we will not really receive the truth. And, you know, these people, they're often used by Satan to convince people that they truly don't know the Word of God in its fullness. You know, they say, "You don't know the Word of God in its entirety." They may say, "It's incomplete, it's inaccurate," and they'll try to put their own spin on what they believe is really what is the truth of, like, a particular scripture or a particular verse. And here's the thing, though. Sometimes they will put their own spin upon it, and the truth no longer stays the truth. And that's the thing. When you add something to it, or you totally alter its meaning, it's no longer the truth. And I have to tell you, as Christians, we got to stay vigilant. We got to make sure that, you know, whatever people say about, you know, what they think a particular scripture means, just don't go, "Okay, I think this person seems to know what they're talking about. I'll just receive it." Well, that's dangerous. No. You make sure you go home and you ask the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit, "How am I to receive this? You know, is this really what is truth?" Especially if it's something you never heard before. It's like a new spin on the meaning of the scripture. Ask the Holy Spirit and really do your homework. Next week, I'm going to start a new sermon series called Exposing the Lies Within. Within what? Within our churches. Because, yeah, they're coming into the Christian church. Okay? I'm going to call them wolves because that's what they are. They're wolves in sheep clothing, and they're trying to distort the Word of God. And you may say, "Oh, I come to open door. I don't need worry then," right? Well, here's the thing. We know that, you know, they're all over the place. They're on TV. They're on the radio. And sometimes you may not even realize they're preaching something that goes against the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, many Christian believers have been deceived. Because I talk to some Christian and go, Pastor Ben, I know this is right because I heard it on the radio. I say, just because you heard it on the radio doesn't mean that it's 100% true. You still got to make sure you're doing your part to find out if it is really of God. And I'm going to tell you straight up, these deceivers may be the pastors of the church, church leaders, you know, Bible study teachers, church members or attendees that may have heard a new kind of teaching, okay? So I heard this and, wow, I never heard this before. I got to share with everybody at church, right? And suddenly, you're bringing something that is not of God, something that doesn't go along with the word of God. You're bringing in something that will truly affect what is truth. And that's why, like I said, we always got to make sure we do our part. And we ask the Holy Spirit and we do our homework. And in the Bible, they're often referred to as what? False teachers or false prophets. That's what they're called. And we realize, yeah, they're there to try to really distort the truth. And I'm sure Satan is behind all of this. As Satan has whispered these lies into them, they think of it as truth, right? And so they are trying to infiltrate our churches. So here's the question. It says, how can a deceiver be identified within the church? Well, look at number one here. It says, they can be identified by what? The way they live. Okay, and I'm just going to read what it says here in Titus 1, 15 to 16. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving because their minds and consciences are corrupted. Such people, that's the key word, claim they know God, but they deny him by what? The way they live. They are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter. This guy can have a PhD. I mean, can he have like 6 or 7 degrees, you know, in theology or whatever it is? And they say, oh, I know this stuff. I'm going to tell you. Can they be deceived? Yes, they can. Because they're still human, they're still flesh, and they still can be deceived by the devil. And so no matter what they say, but, you know, I'm an expert. You know, still, you still have to be careful because, like I said, the Bible says in the last days there will be just a few, just a little bit of these false prophets. No, the Bible says there will be many. And they will come and really try to mess up the word of God. And, you know, these people, they're often referred to as hypocrites because it tells us here they claim to know God, but they deny God by the way they what? The way they live. They still probably have a lot of immorality in their lives. They're doing things that go against the word of God. They may even know what they are saying or teaching is wrong, but it tells us their consciences have been corrupted. So they will still continue to speak forth the lies of the devil. And I have to tell you, I met some of these people who basically they speak these lies because it sounds like it's something, it's so out of this world, right? And they want the attention. So they say, I heard this. You know, this preacher said this. And they're telling everyone that you got to accept this too. And you got to understand, if it doesn't sound like it's in line with the word of God, well, check with someone who really knows the word of God, someone you know who has been tested, someone who will not steer you wrong. And ask them, is this something I should receive? Because I'm going to tell you, you know, these very people are trying to distort the word of God. You know, Pastor H.C. Trumbull, this is what he says. He says, our conscience tells us that we ought to do right, but it does not tell us what right is, for that we are taught by God's word. And that's how our conscience really becomes something we can trust. Not because of what we learn from everybody else, it's what we know the word of God has taught us. And so as you are going out in the world, you're going to go, oh, should I do that? Oh, should I do this? Or should I, you know, help this person or whatever it may be, right? You're going to let your conscience speak because it's the Holy Spirit that will help you. He will let his word come forth so that you're going to know what to do according to the word of God. Amen. That is why it's so important. You got to stay in the word. That's why it's so important that the word of God must get so deep in your mind, deep in your heart. You're going to know what to do. when a situation arises. And here's the thing. For the person who is a deceiver, right, it will seem like they're speaking the truth. But you will know that they're not the real deal because of what? The very fact they're not following the word of God, right? They say, oh, I think this is the good thing to do. You know what's even better than the good thing to do? The godly thing to do. And that's when you follow the word of God. That's the godly thing. It's not about the good, because you know the world, you say, oh, it's a good thing. But sometimes it's not so good. You know what I'm saying? It has to be according to the word. I want you to listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew 7, 15 to 19. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. Beware of the false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they're really what? They're vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. And Jesus makes it very clear. You know, you're not speaking the truth. You're not producing good fruit. Hey, it should be chopped down, thrown into the fire. And the same, what we got to understand is you hear something that is not the truth. I mean, something that is just like, you're kind of thinking, I don't know about this, you know? Don't receive it. Yeah. And just like Jesus says, chop it down, throw it in the fire. And really, ask yourself, ask the Holy Spirit if this is something that you should receive. And this is what the Apostle Paul says about these deceivers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. Read it with me. Ready? Go. For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. And so let me ask you something. If you were to somehow, if God allowed it, you know, that you could actually see a demon spirit or even Satan, what do you think? Would it be like totally grotesque, scary? Not according to this. They masquerade as what? An angel of light. They're going to look beautiful. You might even feel like peace. Because remember, they're good at deceiving. It's a false peace, though. Because they will disguise themselves. They will try to trick you. They will try to say, this is good. This is of God. But it's not. And you got to ask the Holy Spirit for what we call, you ever heard the word discernment? This is something the Holy Spirit gives to all believers. You ask him. You have to ask him, though. You say, Lord, help me to discern whether this is you or not. This is of God or not of God. That's what it means to discern. Whether you know this is truly of God or totally something maybe of the devil or maybe of the world, right? You ask the Holy Spirit and he will show it to you. He will give you revelation. Because, yeah, the devil, he's out to destroy us. He's trying to trick us all the time. And, you know, even in the Old Testament, we see that these false prophets who are supposed to be representatives of God, guess what? They're not really representing Jesus. They're not representing God. Who are they representing? The devil. I want you to look at Jeremiah 23:14. Okay, I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. But now I see that the prophets of Jerusalem are even worse. They commit adultery and they love dishonesty. They encourage those who are doing evil so that no one turns away from their sins. These prophets are as wicked as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah once were. And you got to understand something here. These are prophets. These are people who speak forth the word of God. And, you know, they're found in the Old Testament. And we realize, what are they doing? They're doing things that are dishonest. They're committing adultery. Can you imagine? I mean, they're supposed to be representing God and telling the people, don't do this, don't do that. You know, don't cheat on your spouse. But they're doing this. And they're full of dishonesty. And look what it says here. These prophets are as wicked as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, it got rained down with fiery coals. Right? I mean, they were burned down. And so we realize, you know, this is something serious. If you say that you are a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, you got to make sure you show the world that you are representing him well. I want you to look what it says here in Isaiah 28:7. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Now, however, Israel is led by drunks who reel with wine and stagger with alcohol. The priests and the prophets stagger with alcohol and lose themselves in wine. They reel when they see visions and stagger as they render decisions. Well, let me ask you something. What if you saw me, maybe on Keomoku Street, later one night, and I'm going, oh, hey, and I'm staggering into the bar. Would you say something? I hope you would, right? Say, hey, what you doing, Pastor Bing? You crazy or what? No. You would kind of go, what is he doing? He's a leader of the church, right? I mean, I don't blame you if you don't come back. Really, if you saw me doing something that you know it's completely, totally wrong, that, you know, I'm all drunk and I'm totally blasted. And no, I'm representing Christ. And I realize I'm going to make someone stumble, you know, someone who's young in the faith, someone who knows that I'm a pastor. They see me drinking. Guess what? I might affect their faith. And I realize I can't do these things. But yet, you can see with these prophets during the prophet Isaiah's time, they were doing this without any, you know, conscience. They were thinking, oh, let's just party. Let's have a good time. And we know they are what we call false prophets. They're supposed to be a man or woman of God, yet they're doing the very things like anybody else of the world, someone who doesn't know God. Okay, I'm going to describe to you now this man, right? This the characteristics of a man of long ago, okay, and see if you can guess who he is. Okay, just listen, all right? Just listen as I describe to you this man. This man, he often made free use of Christian vocabulary. He used words as hallelujah and praise the Lord. And he often talked about the blessings of the Almighty and used Christian teachings to help form the pillars of a new government. He took great responsibility in leading his nation with much earnestness and willingness to work diligently for his countrymen. He handed out holy and religious articles to the press, especially to the church newspapers. He often showed his tattered Bible, you can tell he's been in it, he's been reading it, right? And declared that he drew strength for his great work from it, as large crowds of pious people welcomed him as being a man that was sent from God. But who am I talking about? What do you think? Maybe one of our great presidents? Maybe George Washington, maybe what, Thomas Jefferson? You know what I'm talking about? No, not Obama. Oh, yeah, okay. Actually, it's Adolf Hitler. Unreal, yeah? He went around saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And he was telling people, I was sent by God to do what I'm doing. Yeah, what did he do? He killed millions upon millions of Jewish people. Yeah, you're sent by God? How could you say that? How dare you? I got to tell you, we realize people, they're going to say what they're going to say. They're going to say, I'm a man of God. I represent truth. Don't believe them just because they say that. They got to be tested, right? You're going to see their fruits. As the Bible says, it's how they act, how they carry themselves. It's what they do that you will truly know that they are a true man or woman of the Lord. And we know Adolf Hitler, he was a master of outward religiosity with no inward reality of who God really is inside of him. Because I don't think he had God. Yeah. No way, right? Because if he really was of God, he would not even consider doing all these heinous kinds of things that he did. And that's why we got to look within ourselves. And we got to make sure that we truly belong to Christ. Like I said, anyone can call themselves a Christian. But the ultimate test is by how you live. It's by the choices you make in your life. People will really know that you belong to God. Amen? I want you to look at number two now. It says they can be identified by the frequent false statements that they make about the scriptures. And the key word is frequent. Because, yeah, they always will get it wrong. they always will say things because they're trying to get attention upon themselves. So they look for things that are totally wild, things that you know doesn't go along with the Word of God. And you can say they are the mouthpieces for the devil. And the devil knows that, you know, once people bite into these lies, right, they will no longer have the truth in them to set them free. Because how can the truth set them free when it's not the truth? Think about that for a second. And we got to make sure that what we're hearing, you know, if you're going to a church, you know, where you come to Open Door, praise God, right? I'm not going to preach something that goes against the Word of God, okay? But still, you have to make sure. Sometimes, you know, I'm going to say because I'm human, right? Sometimes I may make a mistake, just like you may make a mistake. That's why it's so important, you know, if something you hear, maybe even hear, you go, oh, I don't know about that. Please talk to me about it. And I know there are other churches where some people heard something that the pastor didn't like. I mean, they heard something, yeah, that the pastor said and they didn't like it. And they made a decision, we're never coming back again. And I think sometimes you got to approach the pastor. You got to say, you know, pastor, you said something that I didn't quite understand. Can you explain it to me? If you do that with me, I promise you, I will do my best to explain it to you or find the answer. To what it is. If I said something wrong, I will correct myself, right? But here's the thing. You got to realize, yeah, we got to make sure that we stay on track, right? We do not bail out every time, you know, we don't like something. We got to approach the person and ask them, could you explain it to me? Could you make it clearer to me what you meant by that? And so I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul says about these people. I want you to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. Read it with me. Ready? Go. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be what? Persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Let's stop right there for a second. The very fact is, you know, the ones who are deceiving you and me, guess what? They themselves are being deceived. This is what the scripture says. And that's why, guess what? They're probably receiving this as truth. So sometimes they may not even know that they're deceiving you. They're thinking this is really the truth. And so that's why it's so important. We got to rely on the Holy Spirit for what we call discernment. It says in verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of, because you know these from who you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul is telling Timothy, you know, what you learned from your childhood time, you know, or maybe since you started going to the church you're going to now. You know, the reason why you stayed, because you know that this is truth. If you knew that I was preaching something that was false, I know you wouldn't come back, right? And so what you know you have been convinced of, stick with it. Don't be like so like impressed with what people are saying that go, wow, I never hear Pastor Ben say that. I like what he's saying better. It makes me more excited. No, don't go with your feelings like that, because what you know and what you've been convinced of as truth, stay with it, you know? And check with another pastor or another leader before you fully receive it, okay? And you're probably thinking, okay, well, so what are you talking about, Pastor Ben? Well, what are some of the things? But we're going to be covering those common, you know, false lies, right, in the weeks to come. And I'm talking about in our modern day churches, what's being taught right now, because I want you to be aware of it. Because, yeah, they're going to come. You're going to hear it, you know, either on the TV, on the radio, whatever it may be. I want you to understand what they are so that when you hear it, you're going to reject it. Amen? You know, there's this Christian author. His name is Mart Dehan, okay? And this is how he explains how the false teacher works. Just listen to this. He says, in an unethical selling technique called the bait and switch method. You guys heard of that method, the bait and switch method? A retailer lures customers into his store by advertising a well-known product at a very, very low price, right? When the buyer asks to purchase it, however, what happens? That thing is out of stock, right? It's sold out. And The salesperson then tries to sell him an inferior line of merchandise, hoping to pocket a bigger profit. And the brand name was used just to get potential customers to step inside his store. That's what's called a bait and switch method. And this is what Pastor Mark says. He says, in a similar way, a false teacher uses biblical words to capture interest and gain a hearing, right? He may talk about Christ, redemption, the cross, and the resurrection, but these trusted terms amount to nothing more than a come on. Right, the seller uses them to advertise truths that, as far as he is concerned, they're out of stock. Right, they may mention these, you know, words, right, that we're commonly accustomed to, right? But after that, it becomes less and less, and they start to put in their own thinking into it. And so, when an interested person responds, he is confronted by beliefs that are completely contrary to God's word. And we know that's how they operate. And in the New Testament, these false prophets, they were teaching things that were totally going against the word of God. And in the book of 1 Timothy, as Paul is instructing this young pastor named Timothy, right, about these false teachers, you know, he was telling them, these are some of the common teachings of that day, okay? I want you to look what it says here in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods. But God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. For we know it is made acceptable by the word of God and prayer. Okay, I want you to understand something. These false teachings came from a religious group called the Gnostics. It's spelled G-N-O-S-T-I-C-S, Gnostics, okay? And they believe that all physical matter is evil. Anything that you see, you can touch, right? It's evil. And he says, therefore, all forms of sexuality and pleasant food were labeled as evil. Can you imagine that, right? And as a result, right, these Gnostics, they rejected marriage and they taught people not to eat certain foods. And I'm thinking, why would anyone want to follow what they believe? They said, all physical matter is evil. And for me, I love tasty foods, you know? And he said, you cannot stay. You eat those tasty foods, you're evil. And so Paul had to correct this, right? And he was telling young Timothy, who is a pastor, saying, you know, this is false teaching. Don't abide by that, okay? And we realize, you know, people are going to say what they say. But, you know, for one who really knows the word of God, you're going to realize, no, that's not what the word of God says. You don't have to follow that, right? And I have to tell you, there are people even in our modern day that will tell you certain things. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. But the thing is, you always go back to the word of God. You ask the Holy Spirit how you are to receive it. And it seems, right, that the prophets of the Old Testament had a different approach of getting people to believe what they believed, okay? I want you to look at these next two prophets, okay, Micah and Zephaniah. Okay, Micah 2, verse 11. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Suppose a prophet full of lies would say to you, I'll preach to you the joys of wine and alcohol. That's just the kind of prophet you would like. Wow. And, you know, Micah was saying, because the Israelites, they were going through a period that they were doing the very things that they know displeases God. And because of the neighbors that were surrounding them, they were given into all these worldly kinds of things. And they probably started to do these things, and they say, hey, we like it. We like partying and drinking and, you know, and doing all these crazy things. And, you know, Micah had to rebuke him. He says, you know, is that what you want? You want to hear a preacher tell you about the joys of wine and alcohol? That's the kind of prophet you would like, wouldn't you? And guess what? They probably thinking, Everybody said it's okay. Actually, there are some teachers that say it is totally acceptable to party and have a good time. God, he loves it when you're happy. I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear that in some of the sermons, because I heard it, you know, today. They say, do whatever you want. God loves it when his children are happy. So you got a smile on your face. Oh, God got a smile on his face too. That's what's going to cause a Christian to stumble. That when you're happy, God is happy too. No. I mean, God wants you to be happy, but you got to reject the things of the world. You can't be doing what the world is doing, because if you are, you're never going to get close to God. You're never going to experience the fullness of God's presence. I want you to look what it says here in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 4. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. Its prophets are arrogant liars seeking their own gain. Its priests defile the temple by what? Disobeying God's instructions. And oftentimes, you know, these so-called spiritual leaders, right? They will tell people that they will accept them for who they are, regardless of the fact that they're living very sinful lifestyles. You know, you can be a fornicator, right? You can be a drunkard. You can be a homosexual person. They will say, you know what? It's fine. Just come. We're family. And, you know, we're supposed to show whoever comes in that door, right? Or at the park, we show them love. We show them that God loves them, that we love them. But we're not going to say, you know what? We know you're doing the sin, and we're not going to say anything about it. Just go ahead and do it, because we're all family here. I'm going to tell you that is wrong. Because, you know, the very fact this person will never know what is the truth. And the Bible tells us, you know, for the fornicator, for the drunkard, the homosexual, there's a list. 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, the word of God says this. Are we just going to ignore that and say, you know what? It's okay. Just go ahead and do it. We got to say, no, this is what the word of God says, and I love you too much not to say anything. It's like this. Imagine, right? A person who owns a snake, a pet snake, okay, and has to buy live mice from the pet store to feed it on a daily basis, okay? So after this person picks out the plump and healthy-looking mice, okay, the pet shop worker puts them in a box so that they won't escape, right? Upon which the snake owner sees the words, these very words written on the box. It says, thank you for giving me a home. Wow, okay? Just think about that for a second. These mice may think they're going to a nice home where they're fully accepted. They're going to be loved, right? But in reality, they're going to be somebody's meal, right? They're going to be put to death, and they're going to be that snake's meal. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, this is the same for people who believe they found a church home in which they feel that they and their sins are accepted by the people. Hey, we're family here. We're not going to say anything. We love you. You know, you want to fornicate? Go ahead, right? You know, do what you want. You know, go drink. You know, go to those orgy parties. You know, hey, as long as you're happy, we're happy too, because we're family. I'm going to tell you, it sounds crazy, but I heard of churches like that. There are churches here in Hawaii that are like that. I'm telling you, there are. And I'm just thinking, man, I just wonder, you know, because it tells us that all the pastors, the teachers, you know, all the leaders of the church, we're going to be standing before the Lord one day. And we've got to give account to the Lord of what we taught. So I got to be very careful what comes out of my mouth, because I'm going to be standing for the Lord, and he's going to say, Ben, did you remember what you said, you know, on this certain date? I mean, true. This is what the scripture tells us. And so, man, I can only imagine, you know, they're telling people it's okay when it's not, because the word of God tells us it's not okay, because guess what? They're going to experience spiritual death because they're saying it's okay. So they imagine, they go to the grave, right? Just thinking, okay, we can just do whatever we want. And they think they're going to be standing before the Lord. And guess what? They won't, because they never knew the truth. The truth never set them free. See what I'm saying here, brothers and sisters? We got to take this very seriously, of what we say to people who are seeking, right? Or seeking the Lord, or wanting to know more about God. I want you to look at point number 3 now. It says, they seem to appear to have a very close relationship with the Lord, but in reality, what does it say there? They really don't. And the reason why they really don't know the Lord is because their minds have been blocked by the devil. They think that what they heard, right? They may have heard the gospel, right? And they go, oh, I want to get on board. I want to become a Christian. But you know what? Somehow their mind has been blocked because they didn't fully receive what is the truth of the gospel. And they may really believe that they are true believers, but in reality, they have really only believed the lies of the devil. You can say they are a believer, but not a believer of God's word. Oh, because the devil, he's good at deceiving. He's good at deception. And he will tell you, you are a believer, but you're not a believer of God's word. I want you to look what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6. Read it with me. Ready? Go. And even if our gospel is veiled, right? It means covered. It is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, who's that, by the way? Satan, right? The God of this age is Satan. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of God's of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So it is the very light of God that comes upon your mind, upon your heart, where when you receive the word of God, you realize, I got to do what this word tells me to do. And you realize how much you need it, how much you desire it, because you know it will help you in life. It will transform your life if you do what it says. And but for the people who are blinded, right, they cannot see the light. They can say, yeah, I know about God. I know about his word. But guess what? It hasn't gone deep into their hearts. They're still living in darkness. The light of God has not really shone forth in their lives. And this is what Jesus says about them. John 8:44. Look what it says here. Oh, imagine Jesus saying this, you know, to someone here. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Go. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is what? No truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. He's a liar because, yeah, he lies all the time. That's all he does. Satan, he lies to the children of God. And his mission is to bring down a child of God. And that's why we cannot allow the devil to continually deceive us. And if you know you're living according to what the world tells you what is right or what is good, I mean, we got to really ask ourselves, are we truly in the light of God? Because that's so important. We got to make sure our lives are exemplary of the life of Christ. And you know, in the Old Testament, you know, they are also exposed as liars who have an appearance of holiness. But guess what? Their lives are not truly devoted to God. They're not really of the Lord. I want you to look what it says here in Micah chapter 3, verse 11. Read it with me. Ready? Go. You rulers make decisions based on bribes. You priests teach God's law only for a price. You prophets won't prophesy unless you are paid. Yet all of you claim to depend on the Lord. No harm can come to us, you say, for the Lord here is among us. Imagine the deceiver saying that. God is for me. He's here for me. He loves me. But the fact is, they don't really know who God is at all. And we got to make sure our heart is truly devoted to Christ, that we really come to know him as our friend, our brother. He's our living God who wants the very best for our lives. You know, I once read about this rather pompous looking deacon, right? He was trying hard to impress upon these class of young boys, right, the importance of living a Christian life. And, you know, he kind of had his chest stuck out. He was like real pompous, you know, like look, I'm Mr. Holy person here. Everyone, give me your attention, you know. And he asked them this question. Why do people call me a Christian? And he asked this very pridefully, okay? And after a moment's pause, one youngster, he said this very innocently, right? He said, maybe it's because they don't really know you. Think about that, right? Because when we carry ourselves to be very prideful, to almost look very pompous, people are going to go, you're a Christian? Oh, you ever had a situation like that where you know, maybe someone told another person, maybe your coworker, that, you know, so-and-so, you know, Ben, he's a Christian, you know. And can you imagine the other person saying, no way, he's a Christian? I never imagined in a million years. Just imagine someone saying that. That's why it will come back to you. Don't think that we can hide, you know, that we can, you know, just put on an act. No, it will come back to you. People cannot be deceived for very long. They will know if you are the real deal or not, that you truly know Christ. And we have to ask ourselves, are we a true reflection of Christ, or are we a description of the people in the last days as described by Paul? Okay, this is not in your notes. I want you to listen. And this is what Paul describes, you know, people in the last days, what they're like. And guess what? They are the deceivers. Okay, just listen. Okay, it's not in your notes. Just listen. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is what Paul says. He says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and very ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving, and they will slander others and will have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Let me say that again. They will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. Okay, this is verse 8 now. Look in your notes. Look what it says there. What's the first two words? These teachers. They are the one who are deceiving people. They are speaking these lies within the church. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Go. These teachers oppose the truth just as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So see, what is Paul saying here? Stay true to what you have learned. Don't be so easily, you know, impressed and get yourself entangled in these new teachings that it will pull you away from what is truth. And especially, it tells us in the last days, this is going to be rampant. There's going to be a lot of them. I'm going to tell you, be careful. Know the word of God, and you're going to recognize what is not truth when you hear it. And we got to understand, this is the most important, the most basic teaching, you know, what Paul just told us here, that we have to believe and hold as truth. What is it? That Jesus Christ is fully God, who came to earth fully as a man in flesh, right? And remember, yeah, he's all man, but he's all God too. I heard some people teach, no, Jesus is half man and half God. What do you mean by that? No, he's fully God, but he came down as human so that he could suffer for our sins. He could die on the cross so that we may be set free from the bondage of sin. This was Father God's plan from the very beginning. And this is what needed to be done. So when you say he's half man, half God, oh man, that don't sound right. And so there's certain things people will say, and you kind of scratch your head. Oh, I wonder if that's true, right? Don't accept it as truth until you did what was necessary, okay? Because this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. You know, there are people out there, they're going to do this. They're going to say things that they think is truth, but it isn't. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verses now. You know, I got to tell you, in the year 2002, I don't know if you heard of George Barna. He does a lot of surveys, right? He conducted this very one survey of self-pronounced Christians, right? And here's what he found about their knowledge of the Bible. Okay, you got to remember, these are all Christians, or self-proclaimed Christians, okay? Or self-pronounced Christians. Okay, it tells us, according to his survey, 48% of these Christians could not name the four Gospels. Okay, you guys know the four Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And 48% could not name the four Gospels. 52% cannot identify more than two or three of Jesus' disciples. Can you? Okay. Okay, well, just ask yourself if you can. 52% couldn't identify, okay, two or three of Jesus' disciples. 60% of American Christians can't name even five of the Ten Commandments, okay? And 61% of American Christians think that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. Is that true? Who was it preached by? Come on, church. By Jesus, right? He was the one who preached the Sermon on the Mount. They said, no, Billy Graham, okay? And then 71% of American Christians think that God helps those who help themselves. That's a Bible verse. Who believes that's a Bible verse? No, it's not found in the Bible. But, you know, I remember I'm going to Catholic schools all my life. This is what they were teaching us. The priest would say, yeah, God will help those who help themselves. And I remember, as I was a Christian, I remember going to my brother Walton. I said, Walton, can you tell me where to find that in the Bible? Because we hear it all the time, you know, in our Catholic schools, you know. And I said, Ben, that's not a Bible verse. But it's not. No, I'm sure it is, Walton. It is. It has to be because we hear it all the time. It's not there. Okay. So just think about that. So you hear a lot of things. I mean, it sounds good, right? But, you know, I believe God will help you regardless whether you help yourself or not, because he's our Papa God. He sees you hurting. He's going to come in. He's going to do whatever he can to help you out. It's not only when you know, start helping yourself, then he's going to help you. No, he loves you. He's always going to help you. Amen? And this is what George Barna said. He says, you know, Americans, they revere the Bible, okay? But by and large, they don't know what it says. And because they don't know it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates, okay? And he says, no wonder Christians by the thousands are falling prey to the false teachers of our day. That's what he's saying. He says they are being fed junk food and don't feed themselves on the word of God. They are desperately in need of a solid diet of good food, scripture. Just getting down in the nitty-gritty of the scriptures and asking the Holy Spirit for understanding. And he says we need to get into spiritual shape. Because if we don't, we just start neglecting. We just let our Bibles collect dust in the corner of our closet. It ain't going to do any good. All right? God wants you to take your Bible, seek him, meditate on his word so that you will grow in your faith. You will become the man and woman that God has called you to be. Amen? That's what it's all about. You gotta do your part. It's not like something magical happens when you said the sinner's prayer. No, God expects that you're going to do whatever it takes to get so close to him, to get such a clear understanding of his word. And this is the scripture we want to end with, okay? And this is Paul's instruction to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2-5. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Preach the word of God. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to the sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and they will chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given to you. And that's the kind of society we live in today. You know, they want to go to churches where the pastor has watered down the gospel, right? They will never talk about sin. They will not ever tell you that you got to deal with your sin. They will say, you're just good the way you are. No need to change. As long as you're happy, Father God is happy too. And we know this kind of teaching, wow, I can only imagine, you know, that their faith will not last long because trouble will come. And guess what? They're like, I'm done with this because they never dealt with their sin. They never grew close to God because they felt like they were all good, that they had no problems. So who needs God when you got no problems, when you're all good? And we realize this is the kind of church that will destroy lives. And we got to make sure that we go out in the world. It says, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. When you got the opportunity, tell people about the love of Christ. And don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. And you know, God's got a mission for you. He's always got a ministry for you. Don't ever say, oh, I don't know what my ministry. Just go to your work and see, are there some people that seem like they're really sad? They may look very depressed. Are you going to go to them and say, are you okay? Can I pray for you? That's your ministry right there. God gives you ministry every day of your life. It's up to you. Are you going to do it? Are you going to choose to be an example of Christ to this person? Because, you know, the Bible says we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Christ. Right? We go in the world. People should know that we belong to Jesus. But remember, we're ambassadors of Christ and we're ambassadors of truth. Because the world, they're listening to a whole bunch of lies. And we got to make sure we know what the truth is. We got to get grounded in the Word of God. And we got to make sure that we have the boldness to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our heads? Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Father God, we know listening to a sermon like this, it can be difficult, Father, but we need to hear it. I need to hear it, Father, because we know there are deceivers that are all around us, whether it be within the church or out in the world. They're trying to distort what is the truth of your word. Father, will you help us to really expose what are these lies and that we will not stand for the things that go against your word. Father, please help us because we know we are all put on assignment, that we are called to do great and mighty works for your kingdom's glory. Father, I know as we trust and believe, Lord, upon all the goodness that you want to pour forth upon our lives, upon people who don't know you yet, Father, that as they come to know Jesus, I know, Father, it is your desire to bless their lives. Father, will you help us as we go out into the world, that you give us the boldness and courage to speak forth your word mightily. Because in this world that seems so lost, so confused, they need to know about your son, Jesus. And Father, we want to be the very ones to tell them about the very fact Jesus Christ loves them. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realize that now. You know, that as I read all these scriptures, I know I probably heard some of these lies. And thank God that I knew the scriptures well enough that I rejected what this person said about a verse that I knew didn't seem right. It just didn't sound like the truth. But because I knew the word of God, because I knew you, you showed it to me. And I pray, Father, that we will only get this desire to dig deeper in the word so that we'll be confident to share the word as someone asks us about the hope that we have in your son, Jesus Christ. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you're saying, you know, Pastor Ben, that is me. I know I got to really get so serious about getting to know the word of God at a deeper level because I want to be ready. I want to tell the world the very fact that Jesus Christ is alive. I want to tell them that he loves them and he's for them if they will just surrender their lives to him. If this is your heart's desire, you're saying, Lord, that is me. I want more than anything to be so prepared to tell the world that truly your love is real, that truly Jesus Christ is alive. If this is your heart's desire, can you just raise your hand right now so that I can pray for you? You're saying, Lord, that is my desire to proclaim who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. Anyone else saying, that is my heart's desire? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands. Father, I just pray right now, right where they are, seated in their chair, Father, let your holy presence come upon them right now, in Jesus' name. Let your peace, your love, your joy just fill this entire room right now, Lord, as your angels are here. Let them minister to us more of your holy presence. Thank you, Lord. More, Father, more. As we decrease, may you increase even more, Father. Father God, I thank you for what you have started in our lives, Lord, and what you will continue to do. We live our lives fully devoted to you as a living sacrifice unto our Lord God and King. Father, we love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Let's